Welcome to Cyber Therapy, your bi-weekly entertainment, I suppose. My name is Ashley Lee. I am the Senior Manager of Community and Customer Marketing here at Jupiter One. And here's my lovely host, Tony Ramirez.
Hello. How's it going, Ashley?
Wonderful. You know, I'm feeling... If I'm introducing myself differently today, it's only because I'm on the back of a really big event that we just ran yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was our virtual customer summit, mm-hmm. and it was amazing. It was a lot of fun. It was also very stressful. And I will tell you right now that I am probably not the best at managing my stress.
No, you're not.
Well, thank you, friend. Appreciate you.
I can totally reassure you in that.
So yes, today we're going to be, it's just going to be Tony and I, we're going to be chatting through some topics, mainly stress management, hobbies, some books that we would recommend or want to read, and a follow-up on our talks about personality and strengths-finding tests. So with that, stress management, yes, it's one of those things that will be very helpful for everybody. I think one of the questions that I asked in our company Slack, we have like a random channel or, well, we have a, like a water cooler channel. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions was fill in the blank for this quote. What is your favorite blank? And I decided to type in, what is your favorite method of de-stressing? And so everybody kind of piled in and they all have their own like, ways of de-stressing. We've got musicians mm-hmm. like yourself. We've got people who like being in the outdoors with their pets or without pets. And then you got people who like me who are like, yeah, I don't know. I just like to curl up in a ball and sit on the couch and read a book. So,
yeah, and
Tony, what do you do?
I mean, I do a lot of things. I think I've told you my interests ebb and flow. I'm, you know, not always focused on one thing, but, you know, I will have one thing I'm focused on for a brief period of time, and then I'll move on to the next. And I did make a joke. Ashley's bad at dealing with stress. Ashley's very good at dealing with knowing when she's going to be stressed and how to de-stress. And that in itself, I think, is one of the first skills of like dealing with stress is knowing when you're stressed. I don't think a lot of people can articulate that. And I think you do a really great job at it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I was, because last night I had a migraine, a self-induced migraine, stress-induced migraine. And I was like looking up the different symptoms and whatnot. And apparently, like for some people, some of those symptoms are like building over days with like being irritable or like having like chills, right? Without having like a fever mm-hmm. or anything like that. So there's like bodily warnings that something's happening, which I will say is definitely helpful in being able to recognize, oh, yes, I am stressed right now. I probably need to do something to take care of that or write it out, right? Because sometimes the moment you got to write it out. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I don't know. What's helped you be more self-aware, Tony?
Yeah, it's funny. I think you're either aware that you're stressed, you know what those triggers are for stress. For me, I think it's that feeling of being overwhelmed. I think I get that sometimes. And then, you know, there's always the like, oh, what should I do about this? And there are the moments where you just want to lay down, walk away from the problem, do something else. And I will say, like, I think that for me, that's always been like one of the healthy things to do is to just go on a walk, come back to it and do that. The other thing is, I like to call you. That is one of the things I do all the time. I will call you when I'm stressed and express my stress in a bunch of words and then say, and go on random tyrants and say, like, talk about things that have nothing to do with my problem. But, you know, that is
it's one of the similar to what we talked about two episodes ago, where you like mm-hmm. to take this journey mm-hmm. of like all the things that are surrounding and connected to the core thing. And then eventually we get to the core thing. So,
mm-hmm.
well, but thanks. I'm glad that I can be that person for mm-hmm. you, Tony, to talk and vent and release the stress.
Mm-hmm.
do it because you are a problem solver at heart. So,
and I will say this: you are the opposite of me. You are the like hide under the blanket, get a book, or you know, put on some movie and go to like I guess like go into goblin mode and just hide under the like that is who you. Who you become. You go into
this is true.
Goblin Ashley mode.
Yes, I become a hermit just so I can process. I need to process enough to a point where then I can then verbally process. Like I feel most of my processing happens quietly, whether it's through journaling or listening to music or just like not talking to anybody and having like some quiet space. But I will also say the other part of it is being able to externally, verbally process through the stress, which has been helpful. And so I know you and I have had many conversations. I'm not going to lie. When you do call me to go on a tirade about something, half the time I'm usually in right there with you with some frustrations, right? Like similar experiences and whatnot. And so I guess the tip here that you're probably telling people in not so many words is find your tribe. When you are stressed, it is helpful to have people that you can talk to or talk at as a sounding board, right? But part of it is being able to figure out how you manage that stress too.
Yes.
Right?
Somebody needs to take that like love language test and turn it into like a stress language test. What is your stress language?
There's something out there. I know there's an apology test, like the different types of apologies. Like, you know, when somebody like really wrongs you, like what form of apology are you really looking for? Is it just acknowledging that they did something wrong? Is it like retribution, what they're going to fix? Or there's like five different like ways. Or like, is it like showing through like either like what acts of service or gifts or something that they are sincerely remorseful and sorry. That one, side note, is just an interesting test to take because then you're able to pick up why you still feel unresolved, even though somebody may have said sorry to you for doing something wrong. So side note for next time. Next time we'll talk about
next time let's talk about apologizing. and hopefully we will find out if there is a actual like stress matrix, because I'm sure there is one. I'm sure somebody has come up with like there's physical, mental, like all these other types of stress. And then how you deal with those types. This is all these ranges. And I think that's what you really want to talk about are those hobbies, those things. You know, I know.
Yes. You said that you like to go outside for a walk, but as we know, you are in Chicago and it is not always sunny.
I don't know what you mean. It's 54 degrees today. It's great. I went out.
Well, that's nice.
It's beautiful. Only a few days ago, it was in the 30s. But we've had a really nice.
I thought it's supposed to be miserable this time of year.
This has been an unseasonably nice winter. As if you look up the weather trends, tangent, we've had less snow than we've had in previous years, which basically means that I rented a garage for the first year of my car's existence in the where I've lived.
For no reason?
For pretty much no reason. It was like kind of a letdown in a way. But
well, you never know. It's a, what, La Nina year for you? Maybe next year it'll dump a lot. Because I will say, the opposite has been for us. Like last year, it was abnormally dry. It's usually dry in Colorado. The snow doesn't really stick, but it was like we did not get a lot of snowfall last year. Whereas this year, we have gotten dumped on so much. This is the first time I've ever had to experience negative Fahrenheit weather, which was definitely a trip that I just sipped my coffee while I looked outside. So, you know, it was back to my question. Sorry for the tangent.
You can't always walk in Chicago. You're right. You hit it on the nail. You can't always walk. So what do I do when I'm not walking and then not calling you? I would say I get really interested in a specific topic extremely. I think it says something about me that potentially is undiagnosed.
Get very obsessed on something.
And then I move on to something else. Right now, I recently acquired a 3D printer. So right now I'm very interested in all the things I could potentially print and do and all these other things, figuring out stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of like an engineering effort. Temperaments, sway, all these things. If you're into 3D printing and you're watching this, please post something in the channel that I can look at or in the chat, because I'd love to know people's ideas and stuff. I'm not going to go too deep into it. But to that point, I get very obsessed with the topic, which I think was one of the ones that we kind of aligned on, because we don't always align on these topics, was baking sourdough, fermentation.
Yes, it was very interesting. And I think we talked about this on a previous episode too, where like you were, I had mentioned to you that, oh yeah, like I want to do my own sourdough starter, or I started doing it, but it's taking forever to like ferment. And then you went off on this, I don't even remember how long, but you were going on about like, this is the scientific reason for fermentation and what actually happens and why you need to have sugar and not salt, or maybe I don't
salt, not sugar. Salt or, and not sugar.
And how so, and like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I know a lot of it didn't really stick in my head, but your passion definitely stuck with me, because it actually told me, because I'm in altitude, right? It's different baking at altitude than it is at sea level. And so understanding the fundamentals of fermentation was kind of important to then understand how to adjust it at altitude. And so
And you got into that baking for a while too, along with me, and that was, you know, a pandemic hobby. I think you still do it though more than I do.
No, it's been really difficult. Basically, my neighbor, who is like an expert baker, I've come to find out, she's like, yeah, the stoves that come with the house are just not that great. They leak too much heat, so you don't have like precision on the heat in within your oven, which you need to have precise fermentation and rise of the bread, and then you want it to crust at the right time. And then, yeah, timing is everything in baking. And so timing and heat, it was very, very enlightening to learn. So I have kind of put that on hold for now, because I think I just got tired of having good tasting bread that was just either too dense, or like it just didn't rise enough. Like the flavor in the crust was there, the flavor in like the just the crumb was just too tight, and it was just disappointing. Disappointing every single time that I was just like, okay, I need to get a new stove, but I'm not quite there yet to invest in a, you know, really expensive stove. So
we, you know, if we ever found a sponsor, it'd be cool to get a sponsor, like a stove sponsor.
Like, oh, like your Dutch oven too?
Yeah. Or like I recently bought a, like one of those convection ovens. And it would be cool if you're a convection oven creator like Breville, sponsor us so we can get a free oven. That would be great. I would like their pizza oven if possible. That looks
Yes. I still follow. So during the time where I was getting into baking sourdough bread, there were all these different like bakers that I started following. And then they started to diversify into like pizza dough, or like doing croissants, or doing like pies and tarts and stuff. Like it's just, it's diversified a lot now. So yeah, you know,
I think to kind of bring things back though, because I think we went in a full circle now. I like hobbies where it's low stakes. And it's like, oh, this is completely unrelated to things I do, but then I will try to relate them to my day to day. Like, oh, you know, I solved this problem this way. This kind of reminds me of this. And, and I know I have a tendency to do that with you in conversation, where I'm like, oh, yeah, this is kind of like this. We have to be patient, Ashley. We have to wait. Patience, patience. And you would – that was always your response.
Yes, the eye roll. I don't want to be patient. Yes. I will say one of my newer hobbies is I guess you could put this into self-reflection, but I've been going down the rabbit hole of Clifton strengths on the back of our conversation with Michael Roberts last time. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just very enlightening. They've since I took the, so I took the test back in 2020, and I felt like their resources to like kind of dig in and understand, it was like serviceable, but it didn't like give a whole lot of room for in-depth like learning and how does this actually apply to how do I interact with my team, and how, if I want to build a team, how does that impact my management style? Should I go down that route? And so I've been going down that train again. They have a lot more resources now on their website. And so I'm curious, Tony, if you've taken the test and what your results were.
So I did take the test. And funny enough, for those of you who are listening, I did not want to take it. I called up Ashley. I was in my car. This was probably 4 or 5 p.m. in the afternoon. I think it was after 5. And I'm like, I don't want to take this test. I don't think it matters. Yada, yada, yada. And I start going through all these things. And I'm like, what do these tests even matter? You know, they're just made by people who
they're hokey.
Think they know these things. And like, what is there? There's no scientific evidence behind this. This is subjective. There's nothing
objective or measurable.
Yeah. And I go on this whole tirade for, I would say, about 10 minutes. I talk about Dune somewhere in there, which is, you know, I'm off the hook when I start talking about Dune. And
I don't even remember how you connected back to Dune,
yeah,
if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I don't
know
either. But then you said something to me, and it was like, okay, I'll take it. Which I'll mention here, I did buy the book, the Strengths Finder book thing that I acquired. This is a unsponsored review. If Strength Finders, Gallup, Don Clifton, if you want
show
to sponsor us, you know, sponsor us, please. And you know, like, that would be really
cool. Which one
cool.
did you get? Because they have a lot of books.
I got the smallest, cheapest one. I got the one that says
$20.
Yeah, I got the $20 one.
Strength Finders 2.0. Okay.
Yeah, because it said it had the test with it. That was my basis. I have not read it. I have not looked in it. The only thing I've done was I took a pair of scissors and cut open the back slit so that I could read the code from the thing and then sign up and take the test. And
good job.
I'm 35 minutes later, I was done. And I got a PDF, and I didn't look at it until today when we were going to talk about it.
Perfect. Okay, so for those of you on the line who do not know what Clifton Strengths Finders is, they basically do this test, and they're all about people and teams and leaders leaning into their strengths instead of trying to round out their weaknesses. Is there room to round out weaknesses? Yes, and to work on it. But for your leadership to really take off, they're all about leaning into your strengths. And so the 34 different strengths that they have come up with sit in 4 different groups. And so the 4 different groups are bucketed with strategic thinking, relationship building, influencing, and executing. And so on our last episode of Michael Roberts, he was very keen on saying that his number one strength was competition. And that's actually what got him into cybersecurity, because he was all about, you know, on the offensive side and then also on the defensive side, competing with the attackers. He also said he was maximizer and arranger. So I think, you know, 2 out of the top 3 are in influencing, which is very cool. Mine, on the other hand, are pretty much all relationship building. So my top 5 are empathy, connectedness, developer, relator, and then my 5th one is belief. And so I'm curious, Tony, where your strengths are.
Well, funny enough, I have 3 in strategic thinking, 1 in relationship building, and 1 in executing. I am not influential. I will say that I was, when I started reading through these, I have no idea what they meant. I'm pretty sure when I was reading them off to you a little earlier ago, I pronounced one of them wrong, ideation. I have context, analytical, restorative, and individualization. All of these are words that have no meaning to me. I kid, of course.
But if we dig into it, whoops. Let's see. Let's take ideation, for example, because that's your number one, right?
That was my number one.
So on their website, they have a little video here to tell you what it is, what, how do they define it, and then like all this stuff. And then what I have found really interesting are these additional like links here. So they've done like different webinar series and they basically broke it out by each strength.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you're interested in understanding how your strength is, how it affects working with team members and your management style. Like they have stuff in there. If you want to lean into it more, or how does this manifest in your leadership style? Like how does it play with other strengths? All of these videos I think are just super interesting to kind of just dig into, reflect on, and then see, just observe how it manifests itself in your everyday. You are a natural fit with research and development. Did you know that?
It doesn't surprise me, but I'm,
Well, I mean, I think that's the whole point.
I will say that, so its description is you are especially talented and are fascinated by ideas. And then there's like the one thing I found really funny, we talked about this, was connections between seemingly disparate phenomenon was one of the things I'm able to find. And I was like, oh yeah, that sounds right up my alley. That is definitely,
I believe,
a big part.
In one of our conversations, we were talking about, were we going down the same rabbit hole of like baking? And then somehow the platypus came up. Oh,
I'm pretty
sure.
And then we
were talking about like mammals and marsupials and different animals.
Yeah, I think we were talking about what's the difference. Why is a platypus a mammal or not a mammal? And I was like calling you because Tang is the guy who knows these questions.
My husband.
And then we were talking about like classification of things and what classifies things. And there's things that look like one thing, but you know, like the general public understands them as this versus that. And how do we understand that? And I think that was like kind of a rabbit hole we were going down.
Yes. And these ideas are indeed profound and novel and interesting because they are just so random, but they seem connected that I could follow your thinking through all of it. So.
I'm surprised. I am surprised you could follow it. I still have no clue what I was thinking, but I'm fine with that.
I was entertained, first and foremost entertained, because then immediately as you said platypus, I was like, where's Perry? because like that's the thing that just pops in my head.
To some degree, yeah, the next one I have is I just scrolled through the thing, context, and theme is enjoying and thinking about the past, understanding present by researching its history. That sounds like stuff I would do.
Context matters.
Yeah, analytical, looking for reason and causes. Looking for factors that might affect the situation. Yeah, I'd say I do that. Restorative, figuring out what's wrong and resolving it. Yeah, and then individualization. Have the gift of figuring out how people who are different can work together productively. Okay. I want a Gallup poll Pokemon card for me. That's how I feel when I read this stuff. I feel like there needs
Well,
to be...
okay. Let's take a step back. I'm going to share my screen again because I think it's important to understand the four different domains that they're talking through. So you, three out of your top five are in the strategic thinking domain. And basically, it just talks about how you absorb, you think about, and analyze information in situations to make decisions, right? Whereas my top ones is I'm more focused and stronger in this area where it's how do you build and nurture strong relationships, which I think has become a lot more apparent over the last few years, just in terms of like team structure and like new team members coming on board and then like going through times of uncertainty or chaos, you know, pandemic is a perfect example of one, right? Is being able to connect with team members when something suddenly changes so quickly, right? The other one, so influencing is how do you influence others? I would say like the relationship building ones have some level of influencing, but that's just my opinion. I obviously have not gone into digging into any of the influencing domain because that's not any of my strengths. And then executing, how do you make things happen? And I think you said your executing one was restorative.
Restorative, so, yes.
What does that mean?
It said, hold on, I'm looking it up again. Figuring out what is wrong and resolving it. You are adept at dealing with problems. Yeah, okay.
You're a problem solver. Which is why I think actually your customers love you so much is because you help them figure out, troubleshoot, and get to an answer to get them functioning again, right? When things maybe aren't working as smoothly as they would expect it to. So, yes.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I still want a like a booklet Pokemon style where you have little like
the 34 thing and it tells you like,
and I'm and it tells me all my strengths and my weaknesses, fire.
And how many health points you have?
Yes. What's my HP? What are my main attacks? What's my mana or energy? I need to know.
Okay. You know, I think I'm going to look and see if somebody's already created this. I have to believe this is not, we are not like thinking of something brand new here. So
yes,
I'll stay tuned. I'll let you know in the next one. Are you going to read the book?
I thought about it. and I'm not feeling it right now. I may read it. If somebody can give me a really good reason why you have to read it, Tony, it's just going to change your life. And it has to be somebody who I really trust and believe, then I might go out and read it. And I think I know where you're going with this because we wanted to talk about,
books.
Like those books, business those books, books business books, nonfiction, which I'm kind of like,
it's okay. I've got a book club to handle the fictional fantasy stuff that I normally read, but for today we're talking through business books in particular that we've read and recommend or are on our to be read. And I will be honest with you, the book that I bought from Gallup that had my code so that I could take the test was called It's the Manager. It was recommended by one of my mentor friends, Jenny Bauer. And it was in a time where I was like exploring, do I want to move up and out of being an individual contributor and actually managing a team? I don't know how I feel about that. And so she recommended the book. And to be honest, I've had it for 2 years now and it's been like a slow, like working my way through it, which makes sense. Cause she's like, you're going to read through it and only certain parts will be applicable to like where you're at in your career today and what you're focusing on and which is how it's structured. So, so for those of you out there who are interested in figuring out strengths-based leadership, It's the Manager by Gallup, or you can take the Clifton Strengths test, and or you can buy the strength-based strengths finders 2.0 is what you have, right?
Yes
Cool.
I wish we had an Amazon affiliation code. We need this would be a great moment for that. If somebody is in the Chicagoland area and is interested in reading that book, I will lend you my copy of the 2.0 version. You just won't be able to use the code.
There you mark it up for him. Highlight all the things that you think he would think is important. And then that
you
way
it's
easier
to
bring the work
through. I'm an adult. I can do that myself. No, I'm just kidding.
But you just said that you weren't going to read it.
I might, but not now. Okay. So if somebody wants to borrow it, they can borrow it. Again, this is why we're not sponsors of the Clifton Strengths Finders.
Okay, so let's take a look at books that we have read and would recommend.
You've read a lot more of these business books than I have. And you already listed one of them, but I know there's one that we have a lot of overlap on because a few of our friends from our former life, Adam Schaefer and Court Thomas, recommended what I think is my really the only business book that I will go back and listen to. I listen to it on Audible, highly recommend. Listening to things on a thing, especially if you want to go on walks and not have to carry a book with you and just listen to them. Never Split the Difference. I will tell you that it is my favorite nonfiction-y book with business, blah, blah, because to me it makes a ton of sense. It has a really cool emphasis on problem solving that matters in a way that does matter. Before you dig into it, if you're somebody who is going to pick this up and think like, oh, like negotiation, like, oh, like negotiation, like crushing people or making them, like, you know, winning them. It isn't like that.
Bend to your will.
Yeah, it's not like that. Like, I've never read any of those books. I'm never going to read those books. I've only read Never Split the Difference because it tells real life things in ways that they matter. Chris Voss was a hostage negotiator. Brilliant. He talks about his mistakes. He talks about his successes. He talks about training other people to be that. And he explains what's important. I highly recommend it. If you are Adam Schaefer or Corey Thomas listening to this, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for recommending it to me. You both put me in the right way of going. And if anybody listening to this knows me, I will lend you my copy. I've lent other people, friends of mine, my copy, and it has helped them out in seemingly random things that are extremely broad in terms of being personal and being simple. And it is a great book to just listen to.
Yep. I mean, as you can tell, Tony loves this book. And I will say this book was the book I needed to read to shift my mindset on negotiating. Because I always felt it was like, I feel like negotiating is very manipulative and it's very much like trying to get your way in a slimy way.
Mm-hmm.
But this was, it's not that at all. It's very mm-hmm. much, you're both trying, how do you get to a win-win situation, right? Between two parties. And, he has different techniques in there on how to suss out and understand what the true thing that the other party really wants. Because as we all know, it can be hard to be vulnerable and it's hard to pinpoint sometimes what actually motivates or is driving somebody to an action. And so this will help you it helped me in like a business sense for like negotiating and advocating for myself, because I think, and I'm still continuing to learn it. I have another resource in my head for that, but it also helps on a personal front. Business is relational, right? It's people. And the skills in Never Split the Difference can really impact your own relationships with like your partner or your kids or your parents or, you know, your friends, right? There's just a lot of different areas to practice the techniques that he has in there. And it's not slimy techniques at all. You're not going to feel like a used car salesman. It's definitely from a genuine place of trying to understand what the other party wants and then how you can align together. So
I would describe it as a book on how to listen.
Hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Succinctly said. Hey, Tyler Peterson in the back. Make sure to note that as a clip that we could probably use for futures. All right. Another book. So actually, it's not a book, but it's a site that, or I guess maybe it was a talk. It was shared in like one of our channels. So I'm in at Jupiter One. We have a ladies channel to help us all kind of like rally together, support each other and whatnot. And if you don't know, March 8th is International Women's Day. And so one of the resources that was shared in that channel was, this talk about being glue and how to be glue in a way or how it helps or hurts in terms of getting promoted as a woman. And it was very interesting to just go through the entire blog piece and resonate with like you know, if you're spending a lot of time chatting with your teammates, trying to understand like where the gaps are, how they're feeling and get them on board, right? Or trying to put the right people in the room so that you can refocus on the right things and have the right conversations. Like there's a lot of being glue that some of you might also be doing at this time. And it was interesting because, I mean, I got to review it again, but the main takeaway that I got today was if you spend too much time being glue and not doing your job, like the technical parts of your job or like the just the regular expectations, like you're not going to get promoted that way. And so you've got to be able to either have a healthy balance or if it's part of your role. So like if you're a manager or a team leader or something like that, like it makes sense to be the glue because you are directing and managing, right? But if you just naturally have those skills, so like for me, because connectedness is one of my strengths, being a relator is one of my strengths, being a developer is one of my strengths, and all those mean different things. But connectedness means like connecting with other people, making sure we're everything. There's connections between past, present, future, connections between people that I point out. As a developer, it's very much looking at people and trying to bring them up to their best potential. Being a relator is just building really strong relationships in a core group. And if I spend too much time tending to all of that and not doing my job, it's not going to serve me in the long run. So finding ways to be able to put yourself in a strong position to get promoted doesn't mean don't be glue. Just be aware of how much time you're spending on being glue. So, because we need glue in all different parts of our organization, right?
Interesting. What's this book?
It's not actually a book. It's a website or a blog. Based on a video. I think it was a presentation from a female engineer from Squarespace. Who gave this presentation, turned it into like a blog, and I had to like sit through and absorb it because it's a very long blog. But I'll share it with you. It's very interesting to just...
Yeah, I want to read this.
From that perspective, so.
Interesting. Yeah, and you got me thinking about things in my past, and there are probably other things that have influenced my thoughts, have influenced my processes. I'm not going to talk about Dune, but But to be honest, I think it's hard. Like, in my mind, I think if like you're in like similar journey as me, you kind of scoff at the business book idea or all these other things. And because right now I am like, I totally will scoff at like a business book, like whatever. Like, hand me, you know, like I got the like, you know, the O'Reilly guide on blah 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 that has the pigeon on it and whatever, and you know. There are a ton of books like it's that, but it is, I don't know, but there's always a different animal. I want the one with the English bulldog on it. Whatever that might be. But there is value to these books. Like, I think there's something it's interesting to hear people's thought processes on these topics. I think it's really interesting and I would never want to read them. I still think looking at them from like an audiobook perspective, way easier to consider.
I think I probably need to consider that because on my to be read list I think it's called Thanks for the Feedback. And it's basically a book about like how to give and receive feedback better, like in a healthy way, essentially. And it's like I started it, but I just could not continue reading it because I like my fantasy books. So Audible, I will give that a shot.
That is my tip. But at the same time, will I read Clifton Strength Finders? Maybe.
One day. At least now you have a starting point for understanding your strengths. You can use their website. They have plenty of free resources to dig into it. And it's a continuous exploration, right?
Yeah. Becoming I don't want to take any more tests, though.
No, it's okay. You don't have to take any more tests. I mean, want to know the stack ranked of all 34, like I think it's like $60. I don't know if it's worth that because, I mean,
Sponsor us, Clifton Strength Finders, and we will, and I will take the test that is more expensive.
Yes. Awesome. All right. I think that pretty much wraps what we wanted to chat about today, right? Was there anything else that we wanted to cover?
No, I don't think that. Okay. I think that was everything.
Awesome.
I will say, Ashley has one more secret hobby that she didn't mention. It's karaoke. That's the last thing, yes, I will leave on the note. So if you're watching this to the end, you'll know that that is something that Ashley's into. And you should always watch till the end of our show, because I'll, yes, reveal secrets about Ashley.
Fantastic. All right, folks. Just letting you know, our next episode is going to be on March 15th. We have the pleasure of having Radhika Rastogi. She is the senior manager of product security over at Capital One. And we get to dig into her background and how she got to the position that she is now, some of her hobbies around mentoring and passions there. So definitely tune in to our next episode again on March 15th. It'll be 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. So wherever you are in the world, if you want to grab a snack, grab a drink, whatever suit floats your boat, tune in. Have a grand conversation with us. You can never be too early, because guess what's next month? April. It's RSA. We will be at RSA. It is the last week of the month, and we are planning to have a grand time out there in San Francisco as well. So just want to let you all know, if you're headed to San Francisco, let us know. We'd love to see you, meet you. I'm planning to do a special, so if you want to get on camera too, let me know. Dinners galore, etc. We'd love to see you. So
hey, one more thing. Our next show, we're going to be together live in person.
Oh my gosh.
Excuse me. Tight. Bless you.
Thanks.
Salud.
Yes. Tyler Peterson. Guy in the back. Just letting you know that Tony and I will be in the same space for streaming cybertherapy. So that should be interesting. I got to figure out a room and whatnot to get there. So we'll figure it out. But anyways, it should be fun. Then you'll really get to see our dynamic in person. Mm-hmm. Right now, you're only seeing like the surface level on camera. So anyways.
Ashley's actually way taller than me.
No, that's definitely not true. I am the average height of a woman, 5'4". You are definitely taller. And I'm not going to go on the route. You know the meme of like, you know, the kid who's trying to like punch and then the other person, mm-hmm, just holding them back with their, mm-hmm, hand? That is how I feel. I am the kid trying to reach, mm-hmm, and just can't get there.
I don't think that's our dynamic, but.
No, but okay. It has definitely happened. So
it has.
Anyways. All right. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in all the way to the end here. Super appreciate it. Again, feel free to share this podcast with everybody that you know who would find it interesting, entertaining. If you've got people who would be interested in joining us, definitely email me at cybertherapy@jupiterone.com. Always happy to meet new people, have new guests on here who want to talk about how to communicate better, how to have better teamwork as a security professional, and partnering with people outside of the security org. So with that, I will see you again on March 15th. See you then.